Beer Chat. I'm Carnell.
I'm Warren.
I'm Jordan.
And I'm Matt.
Yes. So today we are actually set up in Matt's garage / brewery. I don't think it's really used as a garage much anymore.
Nope.
But he's got like a high-end homebrew system here. But we already know that Matt makes great beer. And today we thought we might get a little more into his other hobbies and his other fermented drinks. So, Matt, would you tell the people a little bit about what you have in your backyard and your little friends and what they provide you with and what you do with that product?
Sure, no problem. So I seem to collect projects quite extensively. And a few years ago, I decided that I wanted to get into beekeeping, mm-hmm. primarily with the single purpose of making alcohol with the honey.
What a great idea.
Nice.
I took the course at Kwantlen, and when they asked you, why do you want to get into beekeeping? I was like, I want to make mead. So that's kind of what I did. I started the beekeeping probably about 6-7 years ago. I've had anywhere up to about 10 to 12 hives.
Wow.
I've only ever done it here at my house. Right now I have 4 hives in the backyard. And in the last couple of years, I've kind of gotten into the mead making. I'm a big fan of the session meads. I find them a little easier to drink than the 12 to 14% meads that you taste
right
out there.
Right, so a typical mead would be more like a wine strength at 12 to 14%, somewhere in there. So you're talking about a table mead that would be more, 5 to 7%, somewhere in there?
5 to 7%, yeah. The one that I have on tap right now is 6%. That's usually what I aim for.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally the meads, a traditional mead, 10 to 12, 13% was pretty common for a traditional mead.
On our way here, Jordan and I were talking, and Jordan was saying that he was going to be possibly getting into some beekeeping himself.
Yes. So at work, we're getting some hives to put on the roof, and supposedly 100 jars of honey per year. So looking forward to that. We're going to start off with one and then go add a couple more to the buildings if it works out well.
Very cool.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Very cool. The guys at work, at the fire hall have been wanting me to put beehives on the fire hall.
Oh, yeah?
That's cool.
So, yeah, as a side note, Matt's also a Vancouver firefighter.
Wouldn't you have to deal with more, anaphylaxis?
Yeah.
You're just causing yourself more work.
Yeah. Sorry, I got stung. I can't come on the call.
Make work project.
My face won't fit in the helmet anymore.
Just because a fireman has an idea doesn't mean that the uppers in the department think it's a great idea.
Nice.
I don't know a whole lot about beekeeping, but from what I understand, it's pretty intense. You got to know a little bit to keep them healthy.
It's definitely been a learning curve. It's definitely not cheap. I have a good friend who's a commercial beekeeper. He's been doing it for 20 years, and he says it's about a three-year window.
Really?
First year is great. Everybody's great. The bees come out. Second year, not so bad. By third year, everything's gone. And that's where the steep learning curve comes
Interesting.
The environment out there right now with pesticides and with different things, there's a lot of diseases and pests that are really
which is a great reason to be trying to propagate bees and keep them around. Without bees, you don't eat. And like you said, the bee population has been declining. So anything people can do to make it better, I'm all for it.
You ever found a swarm?
Actually, I caught 2 swarms this year.
Two?
Oh, awesome.
Two,
they flew right over my house, and one landed in the tree in the front yard. And
that's pure luck, eh?
I saw some pictures of that.
Pure
luck. It looked pretty wild.
Yeah.
Gnarly.
Went up there and caught it. So I got that one. A couple weeks later, another swarm flew over my house. It landed way up in the top of one of my neighbor's trees, so too high to go get. And I just kind of forgot about it. Next day, I came back, and I had a dead out. So a dead out is just an old dead out frame hive that has no bees in it anymore. It was sitting out in my hive yard, and the bees just flew right in.
They moved in.
They just moved right
really?
In. I didn't even have to catch them.
Honey in there?
Nothing. They just moved in. They were bearding. It's when they just sort of sit on the front. They were bearding, and they just moved right in.
Awesome.
That's so killer.
That's super lucky.
Yeah, no doubt.
Right on.
Yeah,
so,
two
how much honey do you get per hive? Do you think?
Probably anywhere between, depending on the season. If my hives, like this year, my hives, because 2 of them were swarms and 2 of them are nukes. So nukes are brand new hives. I decided not to take any honey this year.
Okay.
But it's pretty common to get about 50 pounds a hive per season. If you've got really good, you know, if they've got good food, good season. This year was an off season because June, it rained all of June.
Right.
And June is kind of when the blackberry comes in. Blackberry is the most common plant that they go to. It grows everywhere.
Right.
So that really stunted their growth. And then actually in July, which is usually when they're collecting tons of honey and you're pulling honey off, there was so little honey in the hives that I was actually feeding them.
Amazing.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow. So, the weather 2020 has been crap for everybody.
Yeah. Bees, people.
Yeah.
Trees.
Pretty much everything.
DC's on fire. Everything's on fire.
Yeah. Damn.
So.
So, like you said, you like making table meads, but from my exposure to your mead making, a lot of the times you're making fruited meads, right?
Correct. Yep.
Any particular fruit that you think works better?
I like the berries. The raspberries, blackberries, the blueberries, I find. They're pretty common around here, too.
Yep.
So I find that they work really well, especially raspberry. Raspberry stands out so strong.
It's a great flavor for beer, too.
I've worked a little bit with stone fruits, nectarines, peaches, and things like that. Actually, I've got one in the fridge right now that I'm putting nectarines in.
Nice.
That sounds excellent. I'm playing around with that. But yeah, I've most of my stuff has been with berries. I've done some dark cherry, sour cherries.
That's not bad too.
Yeah.
Damn. So what do you have on tap right now?
So right now I have a strawberry rhubarb session, 6% strawberry rhubarb. Rhubarb's from my garden and just strawberries. I think I did a 2-to-1. So I think it was like about 4 pounds of strawberries for a 5-gallon batch and about 2 pounds of rhubarb.
Nice.
It's quite tasty. He's already poured me some. He already poured me one.
I've tried some of Matt's other ones, and Matt makes a really nice mead. I've had some terrible meads before. I'm going to commercial examples from BC. I'm not going to mention them by name, but I will mention the ones that I did like. If you want to try some mead and you're looking at the stores, look for Middle Mountain Mead from Hornby Island. Mm. It's one of the best meads I've had. As a commercial example, and it just happens to be from BC, and it's usually delicious. They have several different flavors and varieties available, so go look for that in your local liquor store.
So really quickly, while we're pouring, so how does like a beer, or beer, because that's our baseline, obviously, for listening to this podcast, compared to a mead? Like, beer is water, barley, malt, yeast. Yep. I'm assuming this is water.
Mead is simply water and honey and yeast. And the tricky part is you got to keep the yeast really happy. So yeast nutrients are very important when you're making mead. Yeah. But that's pretty much it, other than whatever fruit or spices you might put in for flavoring.
Yeah.
A lot easier than brewing in a way, because you don't have the long brew day where you're mashing and boiling and all that kind of thing.
Oh, right. Yeah. So this is a quick, well.
So this is more like wine making or maybe cider making, right?
Interesting.
So we're looking at this. It's got a nice pinkish hue to it, but not real strong. It's a nice subtle kind of color.
And you try to smell the nose, man. Strawberry all day. It's beautiful.
Yeah, you can smell the strawberries right off the bat, eh?
Senor.
Of course. Edit this out, Cam.
You can definitely smell the strawberries right off the top. It almost smells like a white wine to me as well. You get that sort of clean,
little freshness,
kind of thing going on, right?
I find that they can have a bit of a winey, cidery kind of note to them. This one actually was fermented with cavique.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Which one? Oslo or?
I believe this was Oslo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice clean.
Yeah,
fermentation.
Clean. I fermented it hot, 30, 35.
30? Really?
Yeah. Just like that one over there is the same thing, but adds fruit and it's 30.
Matt's pointing at his lovely spike fermenter there that just happens to be... that one's just got a jacket on it. That one's not actually hooked up to a chiller, is it?
No.
Not like the other one.
Not like the other one. Not at the moment.
These are basically like scaled down fermenters.
Yeah.
They look exactly like you would find in your like production brewery.
Yeah.
Scaled down. It's wild. It's wild coming in this room.
Yeah, we'll send some photos later to the internet peeps.
Mm-hmm. But it reminds me, like, it's going to sound silly. Mm.
Oh, God, that's good.
Yeah, it's just that's, like...
That tastes like strawberries. Like fresh strawberry.
Like one of those strawberry drinks, like those super sugary strawberry drinks. But then, like, it's obviously, like, like a much more delicate flavor, like a
more
much
natural,
more balanced flavor. More like it's better in every conceivable way.
Yeah,
but it still has that like strawberry that like a kid would go for.
Yeah,
like it's fucking delicious.
Yeah, I've done strawberries before in beers, and I've always found strawberry to be one of those things that's really hard to get that aroma, like that strong. It's just a subtle. It's always been a subtle fruit, but in this. Somehow, I think maybe because the base of the meat is so base, like it's basic. There's not a lot there.
Right.
That you get all that fruit.
There's nothing to cover it
up.
Yeah,
you get all that fruit.
To get messed up with.
Yeah.
And yeah, it almost, it was like reminiscence of cider, but it's not. Like it's
not.
Clearly not cider
it's
at all.
Way better.
Yeah. I don't see that. Yeah. Yeah, man. If
When it's done right. I really love mead. It's one of the best things I've ever had when it's done right. But when it's done wrong, oh my God.
I actually went to a meadery in BC, and I didn't enjoy much of anything. And it was kind of on like a party bus, but it was still our first stop, and everything was so sweet.
Really?
Not like what this is. This is just right. I don't know. I could drink a couple more of these.
There's a bit of sweetness here from the fruit, but
yeah.
I believe it would have been fermented out completely before the fruit was added, right?
Bone dry. Like this went below zero. Like,
amazing.
Yeah.
That's Kavik for you though, right?
The fruit is the sweetness you're getting is only the fruit.
That's awesome.
It's beautiful.
Some good strawberries you got then.
Any plans to open up a commercial meadery?
Oh, there's always projects in the future. You never know.
Okay, so now that we've had it and we all agree it's delicious, my whole impression of mead is a bunch of guys in like a medieval castle sitting around at a table.
Friar Tuck style.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is that a true image? Is that where this stuff comes from? I mean, I know beer, like we talk about beer,
beer's
ancient. Global, and it's ancient, and it's existed alongside, and like some beers are made with hops, because they couldn't grow hops. Like, where does mead fit into that sort
like
of
that.
History?
Well, you'd think that mead's probably got about the same history as beer. It's probably been around just as long.
As beer, yeah.
And it was probably found by accident, same as beer, right?
Yeah.
It was probably somebody left a bowl out of grain, it rained, and then it started fermenting, they tasted it tasted great. Same thing happened with the mead. Somebody left a bowl of honey out, it rained, and et cetera, right? So it's probably been around just as long, I would think.
I was thinking the other day that there's probably at some point in its history, the Kavik yeast probably fermented mead originally back in the day, because that's Norwegian ale, like the Vikings
using,
and all that, right?
Yeah.
And that yeast is so versatile.
That's an interesting thought. So maybe it's not all that creative using Kavik to make a mead. It's probably been done before.
Probably that yeast probably goes back far enough. That
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, those old make weird fermented things too, like fermented shark and stuff. Don't
they?
Ew.
Yeah, that sounds gross.
Yeah, and I guess the what's it called, the yeast that they would have been using back in those days, like 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago, they were just pushing their liquors that they were looking to ferment out into the air, hoping that some yeast would fall down on it, so it was probably similar to the beer yeast.
And once they actually kind of figured it out, and
they didn't even know, did they?
Well, yeast is a very modern in discovery, right? So for the longest time, the guy would have his special mash paddle or whatever.
Yeah.
And I know if I stir it with this stick, it's going to work. Why? Because that piece of wood was impregnated with the yeast at that point, right?
Is yeast a bacteria, or did I just pick that up?
It's an organism.
It's a
fungi.
It's a fungi.
It's a yeast.
So I just looked it up, and it says it's 8,000 to 9,000 years old, and they found ancient pottery in Asia and Europe that suggests mead has been around since 8,000 to 9,000 years ago.
There you go.
7,000 BC, it says.
So, so in beer, they've found clay pots in Egypt with residue of beers and stuff in them too, right?
When you boil it down, it's like just like wine. Wine is grapes
and
water.
And wine's been around forever too. Yeah.
It's super simple, right?
Yeah.
Honey and water, grapes and water. Beer, actually, when you think about it, is a much more complicated process of the initial making it. You have to have malted grain and all the different boiling
steps to
That's my favorite wine versus beer argument. Well, like beer is actually a third more better because it has an extra ingredient than wine. That's just math, guys.
Simple math.
Simple math.
And that's just from a math. School teacher, man.
That's right. Right?
And he's back in school.
All right.
Just
so,
a guy with a day job.
Anything we need to add to this that people need to know about beekeeping or mead that you think is super important?
Love your bees. We need the bees.
Yeah, yeah.
I, sure. I got one more question about the bees. What kind of bees do you have? Do you know exactly what they are? Like,
so murder. Most murder bees. I got the murder hornets in the backyard. Most bees that we have here are all European honeybees.
Okay.
There are different types of honeybees. There's Asian honeybees, but the ones that we have, they produce a lot more honey. Asian honeybees, I don't believe, produce that much actual honey, so they don't use them to right. get honey from.
That's cool. They're more docile, too, European bees, right? The ones we're getting are from Italy, Italian-style honeybees, and they're supposed to be very docile, so I was curious.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I think that'll wrap it up for this little mini episode on mead, and Matt's going to stick around, and I think we're going to do another episode.
Or two. Sweet.
Awesome. All right, cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you tune in to our podcast. Tell your friends about it. Thanks to our sponsors at Indie Beer Show. And
Steve.
Don't forget our Patreon account either. Check it out if you want to donate. We'd love it.
And send us money. Have your name said at the end of episode.
That's right. And if we can afford it, then we can go on a road trip and do an Okanagan shows and something like that. Yeah.
Cheers.
Right. Cheers.
Cheers.
We out.
Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.